This is a CBC podcast.
Well, hi there. I'm Gian Gomeshi, inviting you to enter the world of arts, cultural affairs, and entertainment with Q's video podcast. Feature interviews with the people and personalities shaping, captivating, and challenging culture. Delivered to your mobile device 3 times a week, visit cbc.ca/Q to subscribe to the Q video podcast and watch what we're doing.
To call or not to call, harvesters are almost unanimous when it comes to demands that DFO do something about the number of harp seals. But there is an informed opinion that a cull could do more harm than good to both seals and cod. You'll hear that argument this evening. I'm John Furlong. This is the broadcast for Tuesday. Yeah, codfish and seals, the slow recovery of cod stocks and the growth in the harp seal population. Been a thorny issue because harvesters seem convinced that there is a connection between the 9 million seals and the fact that cod stocks are so slow in their recovery. In the first tip of its political hat to fishermen, the Senate Committee on Fishery has recommended a cull of the gray seal population as a start. Let's get rid of 70,000 seals and see what effect that has. Well, problem is the science is not there, and science doesn't agree. There are no reference points for cod recovery. What benchmarks are there to be reached? Well, there aren't any. Does science support that correlation? No. Yet, the Senate committee has made the recommendation for a cull that one would think is a no-brainer, as they say. But there is an argument, an informed argument, on the other side of that debate. We just don't hear it that often. Dr. Bill Montevecchi is well known for his research into our ecosystem, focusing on the behavioral ecology of marine and terrestrial birds. He wrote an interesting column recently in the Northeast Avalon Times, a newspaper that serves an area of the Avalon Peninsula just outside St. John's. I spoke with Dr. Bill Montevecchi earlier today. Well, Dr. Montevecchi, it's a complicated issue, I know, but let's start with gray seals, first of all. The Senate Committee on Fisheries recommends a cull of 70% of the gray seal herd to see if it has any effect on cod stocks. Now, what's wrong with that?
Well, I guess the most basic thing that's wrong with it, there's no evidence that that would have any effect whatsoever on what's the proposed rationale for doing it, and that's the recovery of cod in the southern Gulf of St. Lawrence. So I guess that's the most basic point, yeah.
What's wrong with the cull of seals just to see if it has any effect? Is that in itself wrong?
Yeah, well, there is a lot of complication. There were a lot of presentations, as you know, to the Senate committee that was chaired by Fabian Manning. And probably one of the, most comprehensive was Jeff Hutchings of Dalhousie, just saying that we really don't know what would happen from this cull of seals. There could be a negative effect on cod as a consequence of the cull on seals. So, and your question, John, like, how would we know? I mean, if really and truly, we won't know is the answer to your question. We won't know. We won't have a clue, because if we were to know, that's a very complicated thing. We'd have to know the biomasses of the cod before, after, in particular areas where those seals were culled, and in particular, you'd also have to have a control group, essentially, of a no-cull area. So these things, it wouldn't be easy at all to assess what would be the effect of that. But I think on the basis of what we know, we really probably don't have to go there. I think on the basis of what we know from experience with culling around the world, experience with culling here, models of culling, these things are just, they're just non-starters. The estimate of cod consumption by seals there and those gray seals is 10% at the most of their diet. So, you're going to figure, what's that going to do if you take out, 70% of the population? It sounds like a lot of fish, but if those seals are eating other fish that eat small cod, that's how you could have the negative effect on cod. So it's just not simple.
Yeah, and that's, I guess, where for fishermen, that's where the argument breaks down, because they probably are saying, well, there are 9 million seals. Seals eat cod. Why wouldn't fewer seals eat fewer cod? And why would that not be a good idea for cod recovery?
That's right. And Yes, that's absolutely right, John. And the question is because, you know, we would look at that direct impact, and yes, there could be some more cod around if there were fewer seals. But the question is, there could be more of other things that eat seals, that eat cod, with doing that seal cull. And so that's the complication. And I just even, a lot of this really, we talk about cod, but a lot of this comes down to capelin. And I really trust a lot. I mean, I work a lot with fishermen, and I certainly trust a lot of fishermen's knowledge. I actually often feel it's much superior to the minute bits that I have. But I listened to a fisherman the other day on the broadcast saying that one of the reasons perhaps that seals are going after the bay stocks is because there isn't much capelin offshore, and that's probably a pretty accurate perspective as well. So, I think we do have that sort of, quick shot, let's get rid of the seals. But there's just too much, there's no scientific evidence, there isn't. I mean, so if you want to charge ahead with that, you just have to acknowledge that you're doing it on the basis of no scientific evidence. And that's really it's just a total crapshoot. And it has so many things wrong with it besides that.
And because there are no reference points for recovery, that we won't know whether or not it works as a plan.
Yeah, John, that's absolutely right. Yeah. That's absolutely right.
But is there something wrong when people talk about, the ecosystem, well, it's out of balance, there are too many seals? I mean, is it a loaded expression, as far as you're concerned, to talk about the ecosystem being out of balance and for us to somehow try to intervene?
Well, I think we certainly have an influence on the ecosystem, but I actually think it borders on, almost religious fallacy to say that, the ecosystem's out of balance, and then, somehow we're going to balance it. Well, the ecosystem, as we know, we watch climate change, we watch interactions between animals. The ecosystem is changing all the time. I mean, it has certain tolerances. You get to certain set points, radical things can happen. But for us to presume that we can balance the ecosystem or even know what that ecosystem balance is totally presumptuous, I think. Obviously we have an effect, and obviously we can do things, but most of those things happen to be things we don't particularly like, I think. And those are things like, let's just set some limits. And as you said just a minute ago, you don't have those recovery targets for cod. We fish capelin. We fish gravid capelin, the next generation of capelin. The females with the eggs, we fish them. We fish the first ones that come in. We fish the big ones. And we do that, and we don't really know what the biomass of capelin is, So, we do a lot of things that are based on, I think, political will, what people want to do, driving, economic scenarios that aren't necessarily good ecological scenarios. In the long term, sustainability, it's really not compatible with, indeterminate growth of the economy. We have to, set some limits. But in this particular case, balancing the ecosystem and culling seals, I just think it's a no-brainer. I just don't think it can possibly work.
But don't we as humans make those decisions all the time in terms of, well, how many seals will we let sealers kill this year? How much cod will we let them take out of the ocean? How many moose will we let them take out of the forest? I mean, don't we make those decisions all the time? And therefore, what's wrong with making a decision about culling, how many seals we should kill?
I think we do make those decisions all the time. And I just, it's funny, we just had some discussion last week about Icelandic capelin fishery. And their strategy, as I understand it, is they run their hydroacoustics before the fishery starts, and they have to have a minimum biomass of 400,000 tons. And they can fish, once they can detect that there are more fish out there than that 400,000 tons, that's where they set their quota limits. And they'll never go below that. And presumably that helps protect their cod stocks, seals, whatever. So yes, we do that all the time, and we do have to recognize that. But in this particular case, Culls are very different from hunts, you know, so maybe that's the question I think you're asking. Yes, we do do that all the time, but, you know, to just shoot 70,000 seals and let them rot and sink in the ocean, that's very different from hunting 70,000 seals that we might use the pelts, we might use the meat, we might do other things. So that's a very different thing. And when you can't, you know, and I think you can't justify doing that, shooting those animals for that reason, then I don't see any reason that we do it in the first place, except maybe to shift, you know, or shift or just simply distort our perspective of why is that fishery in trouble in the first place? You know, and again, it might come back to how we fish it and how we can do our best to try and conserve it in other ways so that we can fish it in the long run. So I agree with you. We do that all the time. But it would be good if we did it in ways where we actually got the benefit, you know, the direct benefit from the animals by hunting them. And I think so often people who talk about the hunt, you know, think it's a cull. I mean, if there's more animals, clearly you can harvest more of them and hunt more, whether it be fish or moose or, you know, seals. So, but I think there's really a misperception that somehow we even have to justify a hunt because there's too many seals. I think that's a wrong perspective for a seal hunt. I think we have a seal hunt because there's a lot of seals out there and we can use them.
I wonder, is there such an outcry to get a cull on the go because harvesters, fishermen are looking for someone to blame and exploring every possible reason for the sluggish recovery of cod?
Yeah, absolutely, and I don't think there's I think there can be cases, you know, where, you know, you do have to worry about a predator pit, and there can be influences of a predator on a very low population, you know, of fish or any animal and caught in this particular case, what that speaks to, I think, is really that management of maintaining as best we can, or not fishing below those what we think are the best, you know, points for sustainability, biomass levels for sustainability in the long term. But yeah, it's a complicated issue, and we've always sought blame, I think. But, you know, and more so sought blame than tried to rise up and assume the responsibility for it. So it's always been that way, and it's always been a blame game for foreigners and seals. And it's not to say that foreigners and seals, don't influence our fish stocks or can't influence our fish stocks, but that's very different from, you know, taking a real focus on what we can do about it and, you know, what we should do about it. And you know, and really that doesn't involve culling seals. I think it involves hunting seals, but I don't think it involves culling seals. It's just not going to do us any good. And it's not going to do us any good for the hunt. I mean, to me, it almost seems that the greatest threat to the seal hunt is the negative perspective that's generated when people are always saying there's too many seals. You know, it's almost like treating them like a pest, you know, like we just got to get rid of them. There's too many of them. Well, there's not too many of them. There's just the number that there are. Their population projections, they've certainly been higher in the past, you know, way in the distant past, and there's been strong fisheries. We look at what's happening with ice off our coast. These animals need ice to breed. The long-term projections for harp seals, you know, can't be particularly good, at least in that climate scenario. So, I don't know. We're lucky that we have them, is the way I look at it. We're lucky we can fish them. And perhaps the biggest limit, John, is the marketing and the negative perception that comes to, you know, Newfoundland and Labrador from afar. But I think a lot of that negative perception gets generated in Newfoundland and Labrador, when we're saying, oh, there's too many seals, we got to get rid of them. Yeah, there's a lot of seals. It's terrific, and we should hunt them.
Mm. All right, to Dr. Mountevecchi, interesting observations. I appreciate your time. Thank you.
Well, John, thank you. I appreciate that you called about it.
Okay, thanks. Bye.
Okay, all the best.
That's Dr. Bill Mountevecchi. He's well known for his research into our ecosystem. We should hunt them, not cull them. Treat them as a bounty we should use, not as a pest that we need to get rid of. What are your thoughts on that? I'll give you the fish line numbers in just a second, but Dr. Mountevecchi was talking about a few thoughts from one of the the retired fisherman that I interviewed while I was in Labrador, Wilson Geer from Adlatuk Bay on the north coast. He was the one that Dr. Montevecchi was quoting. He had some interesting observations on the future of the cod fishery. In case you missed what Wilson Geer of Labrador had to say, it's only brief. Here it is.
I think, you know, about the cod fishery, I think myself that they did the wrong thing when they opened up the capelin season, especially offshore, because the bulk of the fish was offshore, and what the inshore fishermen got those days was just what come to shore. And the fish would never be caught up with inshore fishermen, never in at all get caught up. They caught it on, dragged it all out on the grounds and destroyed it that way. But the fish is not going to come back if they keep catching capelin, because I can tell you, a codfish is not going to go, a seal is not going to go from the Grand Banks to the coast of Labrador for cod fishing, for chasing codfish, if he can get capelin where he's at. The seals are part of the universe, part of the everything else, you know. And they're like humans. My people left where I was born to come here to make it better. The seals and animals are no different. If those seals could get enough to feed out on the Grand Banks, why would they come in the bays after the codfish? You know, that's the simplest thing that can be. And they're not going. When I was young up in the bay, the seals would come in every spring. The harp seals would come in and fill the bay right up. Now, nobody couldn't shoot. Everyone just had to have nets out, and you could dart them until everybody got enough seals for their, what they needed them for, dog food and seal skins for their clothing. Then you could have a shot if you wanted to. The seals would get glutted with capelin, and they'd go out. You wouldn't see a seal down there. You wouldn't ever get a seal to eat. They'd be gone because they're full of capelin. That's all they wanted. That's all they came in for, the capelin. And that's the main seal for, main food for seals. And then, of course, there's the main for codfish. Then the codfish would come in, and the capelin would come to the land, not a seal in sight nowhere. So it tells you there that once they get enough, they're like everything else. They're satisfied. We go on, soak along in the summer and eat a crab here and there, or a sculpin here and there, that kind of way. So to me, if they cut out the capelin offshore and inshore all together, I think you'd see the codfish coming back a lot faster.
So that's Wilson Geer, formerly of Adlatuk Bay on the north coast, with his thoughts on the cod recovery. And Dr. Bill Montevecchi, you heard him earlier, about whether or not we should be culling seals or whether we should be just harvesting them, treat them as a bounty we should use and not as a pest that we need to get rid of ourselves. What are your thoughts? Our fish line number is 576-5287, 1-800-561-3474. All right, the marine synopsis for Labrador at 4 o'clock today, a deepening low located northeast of Newfoundland. By 4 o'clock tomorrow, a deepening low located southeast of Greenland. At 4 o'clock today, a quasi-stationary ridge located on a line north-south over Ungava Bay. And for Newfoundland, at 3:30 today, a deepening low located over the northeast coast. By 3:30 tomorrow, a deepening low located southeast of Greenland. And at 3:30 today, a dissipating ridge located northeast of the Funk Island Bank. And that is your marine synopsis. You're listening to the Fisheries Broadcast for this Tuesday afternoon. I'm John Furlong. One of the biggest fisheries in this province is the crab fishery. Crab and shrimp took the place of cod after the moratorium, and the value of both shellfish fisheries showed a steady growth. But in recent years, that growth stopped and then started to decline. Crab and shrimp quotas in some areas have continued to go down. For many harvesters, this can spell bad news. In crab, a drop in your earnings can be drop you dangerously close to the break-even point. That's the kind of stuff that crab fishermen like Gary Hefferton deal with. Gary Hefferton is in Lumsden. He fishes in 3K, an area that has been vulnerable to crab quota cuts in the past few years. Well, Gary, you fish in 3K. I know you're worried about what the new year might bring, but how much have your quotas been going down in recent years?
They're going down a lot, John, the last 4 or 5 years. Every year we had a... In 2006, I think it was down or something, and then it went back up. We had a lot of soft shell, but it went back up during 2007, 2008. But after that, it's been going down. We had some around 12,000, went down to 10 and 8, and last year we had 7,800, and their stocks have been going down again year.
What is the talk among harvesters about the decline in crab stocks?
Well, a lot of people, John, is talking about the stocks of the crab there, and I mean, that's all we got, the crab there, right? The trust to, more or less, right? But I'm talking about, now, what I'm going to say is on my behalf here now today, and there's a lot more out there too, probably would say too, but they're not on the radio, but I hope you all gets on and starts talking too a lot. But those draggers, John, those draggers, I'm not saying that they're all of it, but they're a big, they're playing a big role in the crab stocks over there.
Well, how so?
Well, I don't think they're helping by. You got those doors going on the bottom out there, John, and those big bobbers and whatever it's called there, and just doing damage to the crabs.
And I know there's a lot of resentment among fishermen, because I've heard it before about the, you know, boxes that are closed, grids that are closed because of soft shell, but yet the draggers are still allowed in there.
Yeah, that's right. They're going closed down grids, okay? They're closed down blocks for soft shell crab because you're on up soft shell, and they're saying there's too much stress on it. But in the meantime, if they close down those grids and blocks, probably a month after that, when we're done with our crab fishery, here comes the draggers, and they're going back and forth over them, over the crab there, where the soft shell too. So what do you think the draggers are doing there if that's not stress on the crab, right? That's the same thing.
Any reaction from the union on that or what?
No, well, I mean, I think the union should come on and say, boys, look, we think that the draggers is not, you know, the draggers is no help to those crab, the crab out there, the crab stocks.
Yeah.
And you got the seals, and you got the cod, and there's a bit of ourselves and everything, right? That's is all part of it, right? So there's a mixture there.
Yeah, but the union has already said that it's not convinced that dragging is a problem when it comes to the damage to crab stocks.
Well, they've had the cameras in there, John. I suppose they got some information on it. They're saying Edgar was on there a while ago, or he got some pictures, cameras, and whatever there about the crab, what the damage is doing, right?
That's Edgar Hunt from Valleyfield, yeah.
You notice that the crab, you notice that those draggers, those big doors, is doing damage to the crab stocks. It got to be. You take if you've got a potato garden or whatever you got there, and you go back and forth all day long with a rake or whatever you got torn behind your quad, and you're tearing up the ground, there's nothing going to grow back there no more, right? You're destroying it. And I think those draggers, I'm not saying it's all the draggers, but the draggers are not up to those to the crab stocks.
Gary, we're here
right now. I mean, we're in desperate. This is desperate times in Creek here. Our crab is in serious trouble out there. Another couple of years time, and if it keeps up like it's keeping up, probably in 2 years time, there won't be one. You know, you won't get a crab here to eat. Right, this be shut down completely.
Gary, do you notice a difference in crab in the past couple of years in terms of the difficulty in trying to catch it?
Well, we found a crab AFDC in our area the year, and you know we caught our crab fairly fast. We had to go out early. You know, that's the key. You got to go early now, John. Seemed like to get the crab, right? Because after so long, I don't know if the bait comes in over or what happens, but you know you always got to go early, right? And catch it. But the Area 4 is down big time. That's what they're saying anyway, John. Area 4 is down big time, and there's places in our area is down too a lot, right? So
yeah.
I don't know what's going to happen to it. But there's lots of ground fish out there, John. There's lots of turbot out there, cod. Why don't they open up some blocks of turbot for us to go and catch there? That's out there, and, you know, what's I'm kipping off for? What's I'm kipping the cod for? You know, you'll never get it back to John Cabot days. That's over with, right? But there is lots of cod out there. And there's lots of turbot out there.
Gary, I guess, what are fishermen saying about the crab next year? Do you expect a further cut next year?
Well, I'm expecting cut again, yes, John.
Gary, is there a time when you can't fish and make a profit if your crab quotas get cut more?
Well, boy, yes. You'll get to jump on a turbot boat. You know, like, usually that's what I do is, or whatever, if the crab is caught and we never had a good year or whatever, I'll go to work anyway. I'll jump on the turbot boat or whatever I'm at, right, if I can, and try to keep it going, right?
Yeah.
And then you got those little cod calls in the fall, which is not very much, John. You know, we got 3,000-pounder, which we should be having at least 15,000-pound calls, at least that much, right? Because that's here. I mean, you know, John, we never We never destroyed no, the inshore never destroyed no cod years ago, right? We never destroyed no cod, but the cod is there for we, just to, there's only a peck what we do take anyway. If we had 10,000 pound quarters or 15, that's only a peck anyway to what's out there, right? But I look for the union now and our government, our politicians there in Newfoundland that we put in, to come on board and say, boys, look, we got families on the northeast coast that are in desperate need, right? And, you know, we need something. We need something here bad to survive on. This crab is going down here a lot of time, John. And you haven't got the cut pot of cut there because it's going to cut anyway, right? If the crab is not there, well, who's going to go out there and burn bait and fuel and whatever, and you know, something got to happen, right? You get to give we some quarters of ground fish like turbot and cod, and it got to happen, right?
All right, Gary, good to talk to you, boy. I'll be talking to you again. Thanks.
Yeah, well, good enough, then, John. All the best.
See ya.
Okay, thanks.
That's Gary Hefferton. He is a crab fisherman. He lives in Lumsden. I'll give you the numbers now in just a second if you want to comment on something that anything that Gary said or anything that Dr. Bill Montevecchi said about the his opposition to a cull of seals. But in the meantime, don't forget tomorrow, the Canadian Sealers Association, speaking of which, is meeting in Deer Lake. That's tomorrow at the Holiday Inn Express. Starts at 9 a.m. Everyone is welcome. And there's a meeting of the Harbour Authority of Somerville this Sunday afternoon. It's in the Fire Hall at Princeton. Everyone is welcome. It's a chance to get involved in your community because they're going to elect a new Harbour Authority in Somerville. Don't forget our fish line numbers. 576-5287, 1-800-561-3474, and the email address is fish@stjohns.cbc.ca. That'll do it for Tuesday. I'm John Furlong. Thanks for listening. See you tomorrow.
Looking for more CBC podcasts? Go to cbc.ca/podcasting.